B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
After last season, what a beautiful sight. A full house at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. A palpable buzz as 66,000 are ready to welcome their Super Bowl champions.
Okay, Bucs fans, you've raised the flags proudly. Now please join me one final time in commemorating our historic Super Bowl 55 championship as we turn our attention to the northeast and the southwest corners of the stadium for the unveiling of our brand new Super Bowl championship signs. Go Bucks!
Fire the cannons!
All right, how did that taste, New England? Not so hot. Not so hot. Another tough night for the Patriots down in Foxborough. Thoughts and prayers, as Jones would say, T's and P's. That was, I'm telling you, I don't know why. I feel like I'm surprised. I'm not really surprised, but just the level of Tom Brady and the level he plays at is just awe-inspiring. I thought he was freaking surgical. Just another elite night. The entire night's about him. The whole show is about him. The whole pregame's about him. Every third commercial features him. He gets the ball with a minute and a half left, of course, drives him down for the game-winning field goal. And to add insult to injury, now he had Gronkowski with him. And if you wouldn't know it, if you took a nap for 7 years and woke up and watched those two play football last night, you'd think nothing had changed. And one's 44 and one we thought was done 3 years ago. And boy, that is just, that cannot taste good in your mouth.
So there were a couple of things that struck me about the people playing that game last night. One is, I don't know about you, I turn it on still, and I conceded defeat yesterday, okay?
Meaning like, Brady's pretty good.
Yeah. No, very gracious.
Yeah, the Brady in Decline show. Canceled. Okay. We were wrong.
I was wrong. 2021 takes out another person.
Okay, so like I couldn't have been more wrong. But I still do turn it on and say, when's he gonna start slipping?
Oh my God.
Right. And I thought, so I'm always looking for the first sign of it. He comes out last night, no signs at all. None. Zero sign of slippage. Zero. And then on top of that, the part that I found frustrating, if I were looking at it from a Patriots fan's perspective, was Gronk. Because with Brady, you're almost not surprised anymore. You're like, I'm going to watch this to see when it shows up. But he's already blown everything out of the water. But Gronk looked 5 years younger last night. He was great. Brady went to him in a lot of different key spots. And Gronk caught everything, 8 for 8, 90 yards, 2 touchdowns. That one, if I were a Patriots fan, I would find frustrating. They got a fourth-round pick for him, which at the time I thought was a good deal. If he plays like that, Tampa get the better end of the deal.
So, another tough night for those folks down in Foxborough. What are your thoughts about it? What's your reaction? We'll take the final hour just doing that. You can call us on whatever you want because it is agenda-free, and it is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Catch them at BernardiAutoGroup.com. Ryan and Quincy, bring us back. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. So before Brady left, I was in the camp of like 50-50 Brady Belichick. And then I feel like I'm in the same boat as a lot of people after seeing Brady go to Tampa and win it. It's more like 65-35. And I know that Belichick wants to win this year, but I think that he wants to win in a specific way to prove and kind of get back to that 50-50 spot. Like, he wants to win with defense, running game, and special teams, 3 yards in a cloud of dust with, you know, a guy like Mac Jones. Because when you think about, like, the best coaching performances, you think about those crap quarterbacks like Harbaugh taking Flacco
Ryan
with the Sanchez.
Yeah, can I stop you? I understand what you're saying. Thanks for the call. That Bill proves a point if he wins with a average quarterback. And I get it. And if it ends up that way, I think Bill would love that adulation. Like, you won with an average quarterback, you proved your point. I don't think he would manage the team that way. I've never seen him do that. Bill, and to his credit, he's a defensive guy, and I think at his heart a conservative guy. But if he thinks his quarterback needs to drop back 60 times to win, that's what he'll do.
Absolutely.
And so I don't think he's going to manage game plans just so he can prove he can win a certain way. I don't believe that. I think that's taking it too far. And now I think he might do that to protect a young quarterback. He might do it because his strengths in his running game and his offensive line, or maybe that's where the opponent is weak. But if he thinks Mac Jones is ready and the game plan calls for throwing, they're going to throw.
He'll whip it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he'll do it. You know, I give Mike McCarthy credit for this last night. Did you catch the interview with Michelle Tafoya at halftime?
No.
Where she said that, do you think you need to run the ball more in the second half? And he said, we're going to take the matchups that are there.
And they couldn't run the ball last night. They gave up on it.
And Prescott whipped it all over the field.
Almost 60 attempts.
Yes, he had 32, I think, in the first half. And that doesn't count a couple of sacks and scrambles that related to dropbacks. The actual number was actually in the mid-30s, like 36. But the point is, Bill would do the same thing.
Absolutely.
If he knew he couldn't run, he would just keep whipping it.
Eddie in Maine. Go ahead, Ed.
Ed, did you guys see on the final drive last night, Brady really eyeing the sidelines of the Bucks to call off their play calls? I thought that was great dramatics. And I'm not sure if he would have gotten away with that on the Patriots. But at the same time, him and McDaniels probably, you know, read each other's minds so they wouldn't have to. But I thought that was pretty great TV there.
For sure. And again, I will say to Bill's credit, and we have evidence of this, in their last Super Bowl, they're down there with the decision to kick a field goal or go for it, and it's Brady that says to Bill, well, we're kicking the field goal, right?
Why don't we just kick it?
Yeah, and Bill's like, oh yeah. And he followed Tom's advice. So I think you go too far if you say that Bill shuts Brady out or won't listen to him or lets his ego get in the way when it comes to winning. When it comes to Sunday and they're on the field, and it's time to win a game, Bill will do whatever it takes. And I think he largely puts his ego aside in the game. There's a few exceptions, Malcolm Butler, but I think for the most part, Bill's going to whore out to win a game.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't really put his ego aside with Brady or Gronk. That's why they're down in Tampa Bay. But
I
understand that's not game-related.
No. Right.
I understand.
And I was just going to say, off-season, when it comes time to sign a guy or give him the money or give in, I think his ego really gets in the way. And I think he really, that's when he gets his back up and plants his flag. When you're during the game, whatever it takes, I really believe he's that kind of coach.
Of course, that field goal is evidence that Brady coached the team.
Well, that's and last night, that final drive, like when he's waving off the sideline, it's like, not that we didn't already believe it, but like, who calls the shots down there in Tampa Bay? It ain't Leftwich and Arians. Brady's waving them all off.
Yeah, no way. Carlton in Tampa, what'd you think about last night, Carlton?
First off, poor cat boy. He's 40 years old and married, and he's still getting wrecked. I want to ask you guys a question. Based on what you saw from Tampa Bay last night and Tom Brady last night, what shot do you think that the Patriots have in defeating Tampa Bay in the fourth game of the season? Because I think they got no shot.
2%.
Yeah, -5.
Yeah, no, it's low. It's lower than I thought. I'll tell you the other thing, Carlton, is you'd say Dallas had success against them. Dallas had success with the wide receivers. How are the Patriots going to exploit that? And they're not going to be able to run on them.
Dallas also had Ezekiel Elliott picking up the blitzes better than anybody on the Patriots can pick up the blitzes. Mac Jones will be on his back if the defensive line, Tampa Bay's defensive line, played like they did last night.
No doubt that Vita Vea is ridiculous. Go ahead, Jones.
Well, those two teams are particularly stacked at wide receiver and with weapons overall, but like that is staggering to look at like all the talent Dallas has, all the talent Tampa Bay has, like in the passing game, and then you're like, wait, who are the Patriots throwing to again? Nelson Agholor, if he's healthy, and like maybe Jacoby Myers. Like those two teams are just ridiculously stacked, and you know, for everybody overrating the Patriots offseason, they don't have anything comparing to that in the passing game.
Jones, I just think the weakness on Tampa is at corner. To me, it's that simple. The way to beat them is it was Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb last night. Those guys caught 20 balls for like 240 yards.
And Gallup was good before he got hurt.
Yes, absolutely.
And Lamb dropped a handful of them.
Yes, absolutely. So I think that's how you beat them. And that's how Kansas City shredded them early in the year last year. If you remember, Tyreek Hill had like 200 yards in the first quarter. But if you don't have receivers, how are you going to do that?
Devin and Lynn, go ahead, Devin. Devin, you're on the air.
Hi, sorry. After watching how Brady played last night, can all the analysts who said that Mac Jones is going to be the second coming like just apologize after watching that for putting that on him? Because, I mean, to put it in perspective, Brady threw for 50-plus passes. He's 20-9 when he does that. The next closest guy is Dan Marino and Warren Moon with only 5 wins. and guys that he's compared with, like Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, are both only have 4 wins when they throw for 50-plus passes. So there's no way that's ever going to compare.
Devin, that was kind of my take last night. It's like, oh, this poor Mac Jones, who's so screwed. He's so screwed because you know emotionally you can't compare the two, and you know it just makes no – when I say emotionally, I mean the opposite. Intellectually, it makes no sense to compare Mac Jones as a mid-first-round pick who's 23 years old as a rookie to the greatest of all time in any team sport. And it's just like, you know, you can't or shouldn't do it, and you won't do it. But emotionally, fans are going to – they just are. And you watch last night, and then you're going to watch Sunday. And I'm just telling you, don't – erase last night from your memory bank if you can.
Oh, it's not even, it was never worth doing. Now it's especially not worth doing.
Oh my God.
And by the way, one more thing. Like, it was talked about in the preseason that Brady could break the all-time passing record. He threw for almost 400 yards last night. I think he only needs like 700 something yards these next three games.
You know what? Brady's going to manage it and do it here.
No, that's what I'm saying. So, like, just another thing to throw on top of Mac Jones. Like, no pressure in that game. Nothing to get compared
700.
To
700. So, right, that's it. Lines up for week 4.
It's 777. Oh, yeah. I think it's 776. So, if he throws for 250 each of the next two games, he needs 276 against the Pats. If he throws for 350 each game, he's going to be doing it on the first drive, for God's sakes.
Yeah, you better watch out. At this rate, he's going to break it next week.
No.
You're going to get 800 yards next week.
No, he purposely won't.
Oh,
no,
he'd sit out week 3 if he was that close.
I say that in jest. We all know how this is going to go. He's going to need 775, and in week 3, he's going to finish at 774.
Exactly. And first pass goes right up Belichick's keister. More of your phones right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. And I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
When he started out in this business, nobody was paying much attention. He was just another kid trying to make it. But then, opportunity came knocking. And through his gifts and ruthlessness, he answered all right. And he became the one who knocks. Again and again and again.
Patriots are world champions again.
But the chemistry eventually became unstable. And so he found a new laboratory for his work. Its legacy was hardly overflowing with success, but he saw promise. Potential that proved to be the exact right mixture.
What a win for Tom Brady.
So tonight, as Brady raises a 7th banner, we could wonder if his reign will ever come to an end. Or reckon with the reality that his favorite ring is always the next one.
Here's the snap to Brady. They send a safety blitz. Gets about caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Gronkowski again. Fire the cannons.
It's the freaking Brady show. Brady show, which, yeah, you can predict, I guess. But the Brady Gronkowski show, insult to injury. Back to your phones. Angelo's in Everett. Hi, Angelo.
Watching that game last night, are you kidding me? Tampa Bay should have mopped the floor with Dallas. Tom Brady got into a shootout with Dak, Bleep, and Prescott? Really? And then this team, Tampa Bay, this juggernaut, that they will go 10-7 and not repeat. Mark my words on that. And the Patriots will beat them week 4.
Okay, Angelo, good luck with that.
Well, I was kind of on board until that last point. Like, I think Tampa could struggle this year. And I said this yesterday. Like, I think they brought back too many people. I don't think they're going to suck and miss the playoffs. So, like, maybe 10 or 11 wins sounds about right. They're not losing to the Patriots week 4, though. Like, I'm not saying that.
They're not going 10-7. It's too low, and the division's too bad.
Whatever. So, you know, again, 10-11. But, like, I don't think this idea, and I know you brushed it off earlier, too. They're going undefeated, or they're repeating. Like, I really don't think they're going to be too close to certainly either of those things.
They just don't have the discipline to do it.
The repeating is, I mean, 20, no. But again, bad division. If they, there's only one team that gets a bye, they could easily be the bye team.
Yep.
So now they're the one team with the bye. Now they're two home. I mean, we know how that all works. It's like, that's Capper's seat. So I think they're definitely a Super Bowl favorite, which is no guarantee, and the odds are against them just historically, but I wouldn't rule that out.
Yeah, let's not make a definitive judgment on the Super Bowl based on week one.
No way.
Like, that's preposterous. They looked worse.
No, but it's not just week one. It's their whole approach plus what we saw week one kind of reemphasizes
that. I understand that, but I also think that there are some things that line up right for them, and the schedule's soft. The division's weak. And so even if they go up and down during the regular season, that defense, when the lights come on, they play. There's a lot of talent there, and they play. And that's a scary defense.
Josh is in Attleboro. Hi, Josh.
Hi, yeah. So I just want to, like, first of all, pump the brakes on the whole game. You're talking about a Mike McCarthy-coached team, first of all, that Tom Brady just barely beat. I love Tom Brady, but he's the enemy right now, okay? He's the enemy until he retires. Also with Gasper, I don't know why anybody takes him seriously at all anymore. His Jack Jones take is going to make him fall right in his face.
How do you
and
know?
On top of that, he said that Cam Newton.
How do you know Mac Jones isn't a Jag, Josh? How do you know that? Like, why? Like, why do you think that? That's, I mean, why would you give any analysis?
Just
Josh, what? How do you know yet?
Okay, well, That's just my opinion. Like, okay. I have nothing. You know, I've anyway. Gasper, as far as his take on Cam Newton taking bullets for Bill Belichick, excuse me? The guy was washed in your diarrhea for about a year and a half, crapped all over him because he kept him there. Pretty much, like, he almost risked his legacy to keep Cam Newton on the roster, and Cam Newton took bullets for Bill Belichick. Who takes Chris Gasper seriously anymore?
I do. I think he's one of the best.
Yeah, what's your problem with Chris? And the other thing is, Cam did take bullets for Bill.
100%.
Well, I don't agree with you guys on that or Gasper on his Newton stuff, but that doesn't mean his opinion isn't a good opinion. It is.
Okay, and when I say he takes bullets, here's what I mean. That I think there's been a lot of criticism thrown at Cam for the way he's played over the last year plus, when the reality is that it should be thrown at Bill. And I'm not saying Bill didn't get any. I'm just saying that Cam got some of it. He took a lot of bullets that he shouldn't have taken.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's fair.
Well, Andy talked up Bill at every turn. So, I mean, he did him a big favor there, too.
But, I mean, I can't blame either guy for the way people are directing their attention. I know the score. The Newton thing's on Bill.
Yes, exactly.
It was Bella. That was the guy?
Right, but how many people, Mike, have said, Newton sucks. Yes. Get him out of here. Newton sucks. Sure.
But you know what? But you really should be saying, on that decision, Bill sucks.
Absolutely. So this is what I mean.
Yeah.
The bullets went toward Cam.
I will say this about Gasper. I don't love that he's distancing himself from Jack Jones a little bit. I don't love that. I wish he was dug in, heels in on that one.
He's moved just slightly.
He's moved.
Not really. He's come off of A.J. McCarron as the floor.
Yes.
That's the only movement. He still says he could be Andy Dalton or Alex Jones, which is just, you should be happy with that.
Alex Smith.
Maybe he's actually learning Alex Jones.
Oh, sorry. No, hopefully he's not that guy.
No, that'd
be a real disaster if that's what we were looking at.
Yeah, no, maybe Gasper's learning from Felger and Masper. Remember when he's wrong.
John in the car on Newton. Go ahead, John.
Hey, my thought was, no one's addressing, why didn't Cam say what the misunderstanding was if he wasn't the root of it? He's got no reason to cover for the past, and the past are famous for going against the NFL if they have a misunderstanding with the NFL.
No, he does. He probably signed a non-disclosure with the team. He doesn't want to bury him. And he's also smart and diplomatic, which he hit on in the interview, that he's never been this guy to blow it up. And I'm paraphrasing again, but he says, I've never been that guy. I'm not going to ever be that guy. And he's smart like that. Quarterback is a management position. Even if someone like he's just barely hanging on or if he's a backup, you know, the quarterback can't carry himself like one of these diva receivers, you know, if you will. It's, you know, you just, and Newton's smart enough to know that. So he's not going to directly implicate the team. He's not going to blow him up. So he does have a lot of reasons not to directly implicate the team. Yeah, I think, to me, he indirectly implicated the team on the COVID thing, but not directly.
That's why he has the father in the video.
Right.
As exactly. Jones pointed out, because the old man gets to launch.
Rocco and Saugus. Hi, Rocco.
Ciao, Michelangelo. How you doing,
good,
bro?
Good, man. How you doing, baby?
Like, I don't see you in my pirate ship anymore. What's going on?
Fire the cannons, Rocco. Come on.
Exactly. Come over. You can play with my cannon. You know? And listen. I'm just joking. I'm so sorry. Listen, so last night, Brady, right? That throw to Chris Godwin, man, for that game-winning drive on the field goal, man, that throw was just spectacular. Listen, there's only like three or four quarterbacks in the league that can make that throw. All right, right on the money with the game on the line. You know, he was backpedaling 30 yards down the field, back shoulder. Oh, my God, man. Listen, Belichick screwed it up, all right? That's what people don't want to understand. He screwed it up. And again, I'm going to say it one more time, all right? Brady pulled an R. Kelly on Belichick's legacy and changed the sheets. Thank you.
All right, I think I get that reference. But, I mean, Brady still has every throw in the book. He has more throws in the book than when he started. Oh, that's for sure.
I think he has more than when he left here. It's
certainly no worse. I mean, that's for sure.
That throw down the sideline to Antonio Brown, that sort of, you know.
Yeah, over the top.
Yeah, and that's not 50 yards down the field. It's 25, 30 yards down the field. That's a hard one to kind of – he didn't throw that a ton when he was here in New England. That started last year in Tampa Bay. He started throwing more of those last year in Tampa Bay.
Can we talk about the throw he just brought up, by the way? The back shoulder throw to Godwin on the final drive?
Sure.
It's not why the Cowboys lost. The Cowboys lost because they were missing kicks and their coach is an idiot. And, you know, like, the Cowboys lost for a lot of other reasons. That was a push-off by Godwin, though,
sure,
right?
Sure, it was. And Hockley's crew throwing flags every other play.
Oh, my God.
Like, yellow flags flying everywhere. That's the one they swallow?
Yeah, too many. They threw too many flags on stuff that they shouldn't have thrown it on.
Of course.
Yeah, it was. To me, let him play, for God's sake. I didn't come to the game to see you throw your freaking yellow hanky on the field.
And if you're not going to let him play, then don't let him play there on that final drive. Because, right, the inconsistency on that was wild.
The freaking spawn of Hockley's constantly on the mic. Constantly.
I looked the number up after the game. I couldn't believe it was only, and I put this in quotes, only 19 accepted penalties. I was like, this has to be like 30. The game stopped every other play for a penalty last night.
Spalding Smales Hockley. Oh,
seriously, that guy. A final segment of your wonderful phone calls and a giveaway. And I've got something free for you, a good giveaway. So you want to stay tuned for that. There's one more segment if you want to get in on the game last night or on anything, because it is agenda free. I see an open line at 617-779-0985. We'll do it all after Jones's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here comes the rookie, Matt Jones. Welcome to Foxborough. Welcome to the NFL. Oh, look at this place. Tell me they're not ready for the next guy. It's really good to see him wear a real quarterback number two. And you know, for people that are watching the broadcast that maybe haven't been to Patriots training camp, Coach Belichick makes all the rookies wear numbers in the 50s. They sort of have to earn the number. And boy, he sure has. He's had a good camp.
He wears number 10, no longer number 50, is the 15th overall pick in this year's draft out of Alabama.
That was your reaction to Mac Jones running on the field that first preseason game. Remember that? What do you think it's going to be Sunday when it counts?
Through the roof. Obviously, figuratively. But through the roof. It wouldn't surprise me if you see a lot of people get up.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, I would not rule that out at all. And, I want to say standing ovation. But I think you're going to see people line up behind the kid. I think everybody's been waiting for this. And, again, this in some ways is Cam Newton taking a bullet, you know, although they didn't really play before fans last year. But I think, you know, Cam has been the easy guy to sort of beat on in this whole process. And now all that venom comes out. It's gone. And so now here comes Mac Jones. This is what people have wanted. Give us the next guy. Show us the next guy and have a plan. And then we'll be on board for however long it takes to figure that out, because that's what fans will do. Which, again, I'm not criticizing. I think that's a good thing. I think it's going to be a cool moment. I mean, it's a start of a new era. A
lot of excitement. A lot of money spent, a lot of new players. New quarterback, here you go.
Yeah, look, we talked about it the day that Cam got released. That was the day they gave the keys to the kid. So there you go. I think at the time I said it was a landmark day in Patriots history, and I think it really is the dawn of a new era. And so now Mac Jones runs onto the field and leads him in a first game. Miami's here on top of it. You're one of your longest division rivals and maybe your most storied division rival. And so here you go. We start the next chapter in Patriots history, and you line up behind Mac Jones, and let's see where it takes
you. I'll tell you what. Now that we're talking about it, it feels a little Jets-ish what we're doing, doesn't it? Like, the new first-round pick, and look at the new free agents, and we're going to give him a standing ovation before he's done anything? Like, and I'm not saying none of that's going to happen. I believe all that's going to happen. I'm with you. It feels a little Jets-ish to just be like, oh, here's the new first-round pick. Woohoo! New era. Fresh new era. Well, look at this. Let's give him a standing ovation. And then, he'll throw a pick on the first drive, and then we'll all turn on him. Like, that feels a little Jets-ish.
That's so you, Jones.
Well, that's where we are. That's what happens when you don't have the succession plan and you're sort of flying by the seat of your pants and playing a game of musical chairs and waiting for the last one to drop. The quarterback they had last year, the first plan was to wait for the last free agent to be available, the last free agent standing at the dance. They took him. Then they said, no, we'll take the last quarterback standing at the dance, and they took Mac Jones.
Yeah.
So this is what you get. You're the Jets.
Yeah, or you've just been the Jets the whole time, except you had Tom Brady. Like, you've just been the Jets that
Jones,
whole time. What?
Do you believe that?
Kind of.
You do?
Until Bill does something without Brady, kind of, yes.
You do. You don't think that's hyperbole or overstating it?
Calling them the Jets?
Right.
How about I upgrade them to, the Browns or something like that? Like, sure. Until they do something without him? No, I don't think it's hyperbole.
I'm giving something away at the end of this segment. Perfect time, though, on that note from Jones through the email of the day. Stu, why don't we do that, please?
It's the Moncast email of the day!
What are you going to make up now, Felger?
Dear Felger,
this is for Jones.
I really hate you.
And Jones blows, too.
And I think
Jones is a dude.
Why do you guys have him on the show?
The Moncast email of the day!
Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Email of the day is protected by Mimecast, MIMECAST. Mimecast, safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast.com to block anything untoward in your company's email and computer system, like Jones. I mean, I get these every time you're on. I think every show does. Subject line, Twitter is for sure the devil. Email. But I'd rather listen to Tangway and Trenny alternately narrate my every bowel movement than hear any take from Adam Jones. My God, his nickname should be Radio Poison, signed James.
Uh-huh.
Next email, subject line, Jones is a bonehead. Why does Jones get so much play on the Sports Hub? He has the most boneheaded takes. Mm. Mac Jones should be captain? Bonehead. Belichick played no role in Brady's development? Bonehead. His takes are so boneheaded that he loses all credibility. Leave him on his own show. I don't listen to him there. Signed, Keith in Providence.
Well, they say the best ability is availability, which I've found has been a strength. Yes.
Next email, subject line, Adam
Jones. I
thought
this is email of the day, not emails of the day.
Why do you guys have Adam Jones on your show? This guy sucks. His voice, his takes, his radio show.
Yep.
They all suck.
Uh-huh.
A guy called into the morning show when Jones was filling in and said, quote, I love when you're on the air, Jones. It's the only time I can get through, end quote.
That is true. Somebody did say that when I was filling in mornings, yes.
That basically sums it up, says the emailer. The guy blows. For someone like yourself who values performance above all else, Felger, why are you allowing this clown onto your show? Sincerely, someone who thinks opportunities are earned, not given, to a clown like Jones.
Mm.
And it goes on. I'll just stop there.
Oh, yeah, no, he qualifies as snarky.
Well, so I think the snark I love, but so then to say that the Pats without Brady are just the Jets, and that's what Belichick is and the team is, that's where I think you lose people. It's like it just takes it a little too far, don't you think?
Bill thought he resigned from the Jets. It turns out he's coaching them again.
So in Jones's true fashion, he's not going to say, okay, maybe I reached a little bit on that take. No, he's going to double down on it. That's the Jones style.
Yes.
And, I mean, I love it.
Double down, triple down.
Love you mean it, but okay.
You push, the digger he deeps.
Dan and Quincy.
Digs.
Danny and Quincy, dig deep for us. What do you got?
Oh, boy. Watching that game last night, Felga, that was like a microcosm of the 8 in a row to get right back in the race last year with that team. I mean, here's the thing, Felga. Here's where the game just went sour. Dallas stops them, three and out on the opening drive. They get pinned down to the 1 yard line. They dig their way out, get down to the 35. Two drop passes and a freaking penalty. They punt. You got Mike McCarthy, that stench of Mike McCarthy kicking the field goal. You got to be kidding me. And then the referees, they're involved in the whole game, and they decide to put the flag away on the push off.
Right.
Felger. It was just a and the brick wall offensive line. I don't think Brady got hit or sacked or touched once.
No sacks.
They were a brick wall just as it continued. It was like watching the Super Bowl all over again. It just kept going. Same field, same uniform, same brick wall, same defensive line, and Brady just friggin' toasted them. Oh, my God. That drive, they were. Are you still there?
Yeah, we're still here.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, Felger, the two drop passes. When you had Dallas dig their way out of the one from the 1 yard line, I thought there was going to be a safety or an intentional grounding like Brady in the second Super Bowl against the Giants. I'm like, something bad's going to happen. They got their way down the field. I'm like, okay, we're going. Two freaking drop passes. That was it. That's all it takes.
Danny's big Belichick guy, anti Brady guy. Just give it up, Dan. I mean, I gave it up real quick. Just give it up. I mean, it's over.
Yeah, you lose people there, Danny.
Yeah. Danny, it's very easy, and I say this with all the love in my heart. It's therapeutic. Just see these words. It was the quarterback.
It was the quarterback.
It was the quarterback. That simple. It's that simple.
Acceptance is the price of freedom, as we like to say. Josh in Somerville, what's your take, Josh?
It was the effing quarterback, Danny. You got it?
Hey, again, 15-time long time. I wanted to just because it's agenda free Friday, give some insight into. I caught you and Holly on the other night on BST, and you were talking about the mean tweets for the female bracket for the women's tennis.
Yeah.
And Holly asked the question, well, who bets on tennis? It's a very, very good question. The answer is nobody, but it's a very special type of degenerate. So I just really quickly give me 15 seconds of insight that I can lend on the topic.
Go ahead, quick.
Tennis is the only one-on-one tournament style sport that you could bet on, basically. So what a lot of these tennis gamblers do is when there's a first round matchup with Serena Williams versus my buddy Joe's sister-in-law, and it's 5,000 to 1, they'll bet the 5,000 to win that $100, and almost every time it works until it doesn't. So when it doesn't, when these women get upset in the first round, these guys lose their $5,000 when they're just trying to make $100, and they lose their freaking minds, and that's why these animals go crazy on Twitter.
Right, and threaten death and all this. My advice would be to turn your phone off. Like, it's just, I said on TV that I have very little sympathy for people who suffer from cyberbullying. Get off the internet and the bullying is over.
Right, disappear from you. Just turn it off.
Turn off the phone.
Yeah.
Don't read your mentions. Get off Twitter. And you won't be cyberbullied. Very simple. Problem solved.
It's a very simple and easy solution.
I mean, really, people suck. Don't you realize this? That's why social media sucks. That's why the people on social media suck, because people suck. And so if you open yourself up to more people to show you that they suck, you will see more people sucking. So turn the phone off, and thus the problem is over.
He makes a good point, though. There are very few sports where you could have one-on-one tournament type of play. Like, you know, bracket type of tournament.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Very few sports like that. Boxing would be one, but they don't really have tournaments in boxing. But that leads me to the question. Has there ever been a tennis match that was fixed?
Oh, yeah.
There was a couple of years ago, there was stuff, wasn't there? Was it Djokovic?
Yeah, I think Djokovic is, I don't think he's ever been like, proven guilty, but I think there's been some implications about him early in his career. Yeah. And I think there's definitely some tennis fixing, I think, with lower level players for sure.
So, again, tennis and social media, you're all going to have to do on your own time, even though he brought it to our time. John and Avon. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. Couple things from last night's game. I'm a huge Cowboy fan. Sirleigh killed us. Mike McCarthy's an idiot. 4th and 4 with a minute 25 and they kick a field goal. You got the best player on the field, Dak Prescott, last night. And they don't go for it?
Sackless. I've seen it before. I know. It's like, I know you guys are outraged. It's like, I live this. I know it. It's you know, McCarthy's another coach that plays not to lose versus playing to win. There's a big difference.
But he's getting away with it today only because the kicker made that kick. I didn't expect Zuerlein to make that kick at all. And if he blew the kick, he'd be getting destroyed today, McCarthy.
It's still the wrong play.
No. I agree. Either way, it's the wrong play. But I think most places, maybe not here, we've been beating him up today. But most places, I think he skates a little bit today because Zuerlein bailed him out by making that kick. They never should have attempted it in the first place.
there was zero chance that Brady wasn't going to win that
game. I mean,
game.
Zero.
You knew he was going to get on the field and win it.
What form it was going to take.
Exactly right. Yeah, and Zuerlein, I said this to you earlier. That field goal he missed, or was that an extra point earlier
the
in the
first
game?
One, the yeah. hooked left?
Holy crap.
Well, he missed two field goals and an extra point.
No, but the one that was like 40 yards left.
The 31-yarder was a field goal.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen a guy miss by that much.
Duck hook.
Holy crap, what a miss. Wow. Like, not even close. Like, talk about, dude, I think your alignment's... I think your alignment's off. Check your stance.
Caller 10 right now to the Pride Ticket Weasel time. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985 will score a pair of tickets to WWE Raw. Making its highly anticipated return to the TD Garden.
Charlotte Flair.
This Monday, September 13th. They mask up inside theirs, too. I can't imagine the wrestling crowd is too big on the hygiene issue there.
Yeah, full masks.
Clearly. Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
They just don't shower.
Featuring the almighty WWE champion Bobby Lashley and the Raw Women's Champion Charlotte Flair. You familiar with her work, Jones?
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand what that means.
That's Sarge.
Is that the daughter?
Yes.
Yeah.
Have to be.
Of Ric Flair. Yeah.
Woo!
For info and tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com. If you want the freebies, call or 10 to the contest line. Good luck with those. Fresh Fuppets. Fresh Fuppets.
Oh, I'm in.
And if you're listening all this week, I think the subject material should be obvious to you. Jones has been teasing it this week as well.
With I know what it is.
TB2teen. I think that has to be. I don't know. So Fresh Fuppets coming up on the TV side and the final word. Don't go anywhere.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deals on tires? There is only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Jones.
Nobody. So, Felger, I think you set this up well going to break. I think it's pretty clear where we're all going.
Oh, about as clear of a subject line as there could possibly be.
I think it was an interesting debate that came out of left field earlier in the week. I don't know if we need to get TV all queued up here, but Hardy did his thing Fuppet style with... As Vinny Crouch on NBC Sports Boston put it, the greatest debate on this show in years.
Roll it.
But as a rookie, he had 17 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. I'd like to see the interceptions under 12, under one a game is what I want them to be. So,
you know, I was going to say, keep it out of the teens and I'm good.
Well, I think that's asking too much. Friend, about 9 interceptions in 17 games?
Out of the teens, not out of double digits.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You said keep it out of the teens.
Yeah, keep it out of the teens. 12. You said 9?
12's in the teens. I hate to break it to you. 12 is in the teens.
Are you serious right now?
Are you?
100%.
It would be called 12-teen if it was a teen.
No, it's just what they call it.
12 is not in the teens. No, 13
it's
is...
It's a de facto teen.
No, it isn't. Are you on crack? What the hell's wrong with you?
12 should be considered teen.
It's not.
It is.
No.
It is.
No.
But it's in the teens. In this discussion, it's in the teens.
Nope.
I can't tell you how many kindergarten teachers emailed me. My elementary school principal came up to me the other day after drop-off. I mean, I've gotten confirmation on it.
Well, because they know what it's like to disagree with you.
All right. Okay.
So two things about that Fuppets quickly. One, I believe, was that the first one Hardy has done on a green screen?
No, that was green screened?
Oh, that was green screened.
That looks excellent.
He did a good job, didn't he?
Oh, my God. That looks seamless.
Yeah, next week we're going to the Orchids of Asia.
So I know. I know he talked about it the other day, and then I'm like, that looks so good. I forgot the fact that he said green screen.
Oh, yeah. No, that was done on a green screen. That was a good job right there.
Great job, Hardy, as usual.
Yep. And secondly, I was just going to say something else, and I forgot what the hell it was.
Well, Jones had it right.
I'll remember.
It's not 12-team, Murray. It's 2-team.
TV 2-team.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.